Eichel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak Jacobson. This is tape number 68 in the series entitled Using Sadness as a Tool for Personal Growth. This class was recorded live at Eichel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York, on the 25th of Nisan, 5759.
Morning. We are up to Perek Chavav, the 26th chapter of the Tanya. Yes, it's a good number. Huh? In this chapter, the author, the Alter Rebbe, begins addressing a new issue. Till here, in the previous 25 chapters of the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe discussed at length the essential elements of the human chemistry, specifically the Jewish chemistry, the two souls existing in every Jew, the battle of these souls, the nature of the battle, and the general principles which are to guide man's life in dealing with this day-to-day battle, confrontation, and war, namely in never allowing his egotistical soul to obscure and suppress his inner spiritual, divine, and transcendental soul. He demonstrated and he elaborated at length the guidelines through which man can always be victorious in this battle, notwithstanding the various challenges, temptations, urges, lusts on many levels and in many areas. Man nevertheless always has the ability to triumph and never allow the shell, the husk, to obscure his inner identity and his true inner convictions and feelings. Here, beginning with chapter 26, the Alter Rebbe begins addressing particular struggles, problems, and dilemmas that confront us in our life. If till chapter 26, he discussed more the general principles through which man can live a truly meaningful, wholesome life, a life loyal to his true identity and self, here he discusses particular issues that confront us all, that can become powerful impediments in man's expression of his soul, that may serve as very real obstacles to a human being's inner happiness and wholesomeness. These include, first and foremost, issues that are familiar to all of us, namely depression, sadness, melancholiness, laziness, sluggishness, emotional apathy, eh. Halavai. Emotional apathy is a term, the term used for it in the ethical literature of Yiddishkeit is timtum halev, which literally means a stuffed heart, a verstopfte heart. Essentially, it is indicating a state of emotional apathy, which the consequence of that is callousness. That is not callousness. In chapters 26 through 28, the Alter Rebbe will discuss sadness, depression, and melancholiness. Chapters 29 and 30, he will discuss emotional apathy. Chapters 31 through 33, he will discuss how a human being can attain inner joy and real love in his life. So let's begin with Perek Chavov inside. It's on page 64. Daf Lamed Beis Amid Beis. Biram, however, after everything said and done, a human being can think, okay, I have the idea of what is going on, I understand the nature of the battle, I was given the methods and the instruments which I can use, access, not only external methods, internal methods, through which not to become a victim to this battle. However, after all of this, one must remember an additional point. At this point, there must be made known a cardinal principle. That just as it is with a victory over a physical opponent. For instance, two people who wrestle with each other. Each striving to fell the other. If one of the wrestlers is lazy and sluggish, he will easily be defeated and will fall. Even if he be stronger than the other, in the physical wrestling between two people, one might be much stronger than the other one. One's powers might surpass his colleague's powers in a very great, large measure. But nevertheless, in order that victory should be achieved, several components are required. And if one of the fighters, one of the wrestlers, one of the competitors will be lazy, will be atzel, and will operate in a state of atzlus and kvedus, laziness and sluggishness, even if he is more powerful, he will easily be defeated because the laziness and the sluggishness prevent him from revealing his strength. This is true concerning a victory over a physical opponent. And kacha mamash b'nitzachin hayetzer. Similarly, the same exact kacha mamash, the same exact principle is true also concerning the conquest of one's negative nature. That e efsher lenatzchei ba'atzlos hakvedus. It is impossible to conquer this nature with laziness and sluggishness. Which stem from sadness and a stone-like dullness and stuffness of the heart, only through alacrity, which derives from joy and from an open heart, and from a heart which is purified, from every trace of worry and sadness in the world. The cardinal principle that applies to a physical battle between two people, which is well known to everyone. If you don't, if you're lazy, if you're sluggish, if you're moving around heavy, if you're not responding with swiftness and openness and alacrity, you might be very strong, you might possess potentially the inner strength to overcome the other person, but your strengths and potentials can never be actualized. And the same is true concerning man's spiritual and emotional and psychological life. Notwithstanding everything said above about the innate potential and ability granted to every human being in every situation to maximize and bring to the fore his spirituality and his divinity, to always come out a winner in the battle between the divine soul and the animal soul. Despite everything he discussed above, how man has the full ability and the strength to overcome the animal, egotistical, earthly soul, which in the metaphor is the fact that ha'echad gibor yoseh mechaveri, one of the wrestlers is stronger than the other one, and thus can defeat the other human being. Nevertheless, if the person is overtaken and experiences a sense of laziness and heaviness, so then he will never be able to defeat and be victorious over his yetzer, over his negative inclinations. The prerequisite for a victory is rizus, that alacrity, that openness, that swiftness. And he says that atzlus and kvedus derive from atzvus and timtum halev. You see, in every psychological issue, in every psychological issue that we deal with, there are always the causes and there are the symptoms. From the Alter Rebbe's point of view, atzlus is always a symptom. Atzlus, laziness, is a result, it's a consequence. Kvedus, sluggishness, heaviness, is also a symptom. The primary cause for these two elements are atzvus and timtum halev. Atzvus, which is sadness, melancholiness, can sometimes result in a type of depression, is the cause for atzlus. Atzvus brings to atzlus, brings to laziness. Atzvut, where does atzvut come from? We'll soon see. Atzvut can be caused by various issues, as we know, by various causes. But when a person is overtaken with atzvus, with a sense of sadness, he does not have that motivation, that inspiration, that joy, that fervor, that zealousness, and it results in laziness. Timtum halev, emotional apathy, results in kvedus, a sense of heaviness. Not necessarily sadness or laziness, it's like heaviness. In this state, the Alter Rebbe says you cannot be victorious. You can have all the methods, and you can know all the truths, and you can understand everything, comprehend everything, but nevertheless, the strength cannot be actualized. For a human to be victorious over your yetzer, a human being must have zizus, have swiftness, alacrity. And zizus is the antithesis of atzlus. There is a lazy, there is an atzel, and there is a zariz. There is a person who is lazy, there is a person who is swift. The cause for zrizus is simcha, which is the antithesis of atzvus. Joy, which is the opposite of sadness, and psichas halev, an openness of the heart, which is the opposite of timtum halev, a closed heart emotional apathy. It is only in such a state where man can be victorious over the yetzer, not with sadness, not with melancholiness. Only when there's openness, when there are no concerns, when there are no burdens and pressures that are tying us down and overwhelming us and tying us up, only then can a human being experience what is going on inside. If not, his arteries are blocked, so to speak. So the energy can be there, the soul is there, but the energy cannot be actualized, cannot flow in a free way, through a free path, because there are various elements that are blocking the spiritual arteries, namely the sadness and the stuffness of the heart, do not allow the soul to express itself. That's the cardinal principle that one has to remember. And now the Alter Rebbe raises immediately a question, Umasha Kasuf. As for what the Pasuk says, B'chol etzev yiye moiser. Shloima HaMelech tells us in Mishle and Proverbs, in Perik Yudalad Pasuk Chav Gimel, that in every sadness there will be a prophet. Parenthetically, there are so many mefarshim, many commentators interpret etzev not as sadness per se, but as the work and toil that is required for man to produce a prophet. So b'chol etzev, when a human being works and toils yiyeh moiser, it will produce a profit, there will be a benefit from it. But the Alter Rebbe interprets etzev literally. Etzev, not the difficulties which come along with serious work and toil, but sadness. From the, like, atzvus, b'chol etzev. So b'chol etzev, in every sadness, there will be a profit. Apparently, this opposes in a very powerful way what the Alter Rebbe established in the beginning of the chapter, concerning the negativity of atzvos and how that must be eradicated from a human being's life. So the Alter Rebbe says, Pirushay, this means, when it says, B'chol atzav yiyemoysed, he continues the question. Again, Amash, Akasav B'chol atzav yiyemoysed, as for the verse, that in every sadness there will be a prophet. Pirush, what does this mean? That some profit and advantage would be derived from it. The truth is that, on the contrary, this very pasuk supports strongly what has been said above. Because milashin zeh mashma, this wording of the pasuk, there will be a prophet, implies milashin zeh mashma sha'etzev mitzad atzmai ein b'mayla. On the contrary, that sadness itself has no virtue. Rakshiagia v'yavei memenu eze yistrin. It's just that some prophet will ultimately be derived from it. Shleim HaMelech is saying b'chol etzev yiyeh moiser. In every sadness there will be a prophet. So his wording implies that the sadness itself is not a positive quality and is not a good virtue. It's just that it will produce a prophet. Which means, in other words, that essentially sadness, a feeling, a sense of sadness, of atzvus, is a negative phenomenon in a human being's life. It's just, as we shall soon see, sometimes it has to be used not because it is a positive virtue per se, but because it can produce a profit, and in order to achieve that profit, that benefit, we must sometimes have that dosage of atzvus, of sadness. By way of illustration, there are certain ingredients, certain substances that are essentially full of poison. And to grant them to a healthy human being would be terribly harmful. Sometimes to the extent of being fatal, God forbid. Nevertheless, there are unique circumstances. Sometimes when a person loses his consciousness. Sometimes when a person's life has been diminished, has been reduced to a very small level, sometimes we have to, in a very careful and cautious way, use these substances. Because since this human being lost his consciousness, the very destructive elements of these substances can now produce a profit, namely, to destroy the present situation. Since the present situation is destructive, we use a destructive element to destroy it. As the the doctor says chemotherapy. Ammonia spirits. Now, what is the issue? What can atzvus produce? So the Alter Rebbe says, V'hainu, we are referring to asimcha mitis b'Hashem alekav, the true joy that a human being can experience in Hashem, haba achara etzev ha'etzev ha'amiti, which follows true sadness. True sadness.
What's true sadness? What's false sadness? And what's true sadness? One moment. Le'itim uzimanim. At specific, suitable times, sadness which come about al avei noisav, as a result of one's transgressions, b'mar nafshe, with the bitterness of his soul, v'lev nishbar, and a broken heart. Shal yidei zeh, for thereby through the sadness, nishbar ruach hatum v'sitrachin. The spirit of impurity and the spirit of sitrachir is broken. Umechitza shel barzel hamafsek is beinoy laviv shebashamayim. So too the iron wall that separates him from his father in heaven is broken. K'mashikasuv b'zayar. As the Zayar explains al pasuk on the pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Nun Aleph. Ruach nishbar, alev nishbar v'gaymer. David HaMelech in Tehillim Nun Aleph, which is the chapter where he expresses his remorse concerning following the story of, concerning David and Bathsheba and so forth. David HaMelech says, "Der zivche elekim ruach nishbar, alev nishbar v'nitke elekim lo yisivze." So the literal interpretation of the pasuk is that zivchei elikim, the offerings that Hashem desires, are ruach nishbara, a broken spirit, leiv nishbar v'nitke elikim leisiv, a broken and humbled heart, Hashem will never despise. The Zayar presents a deeper interpretation, ruach nishbara, what is the method to break, to crush, the spirit of impurity, the spirit of negativity, and so forth, it's through Leiv nishbar v'nitke, through the experience of the human's heart becoming, of the human being's heart becoming humbled. V'azai, then, yekuyim bay reisha dekra. The preceding verses will be fulfilled for this human being, namely, tashmieni sasin v'simcha v'gaymer. Hashiva lisisayin yish'echa v'ruach nediva v'gaymer. In that chapter, Perek Nun Aleph, the Alter Rebbe, David HaMelech, has mentioned, expresses his tshuva, his deep feelings of repentance for the event that occurred then. Lamnatzeach mizmula David beivayelav nasan anavi kasher baal Bathsheba. When Nathan the prophet came after his relationship with Bathsheba, and David HaMelech begs Hashem and he says, Tashmi'eini sasim v'simcha, make me hear, allow me to hear real joy and gladness. Allow me to hear real joy and gladness. He continues, Alter Rebbe says, V'gaymer, Tashmi'eini sasim v'simcha, Tagelna atzam ezdikisa, make rejoice those bones that you have crushed. And then Vaiter, he says, Hashiva li sisayin yish'echa, restore to me the joy of your salvation. V'ruach nediva sismecheni, and let, allow your generous spirit to sustain me. So as a result of the leiv nishbar v'nitke, which creates the ruach nishbara, man can come to experience the tashmieni sasim v'simcha. V'zeu tam ha'poshet, l'tikun ha'arizal, loymar mizmer zeh, acher tikun chatzois, koidem ha'limut. This is the simple reason for the practice instituted by the Arizal, Rabbi Yitzchak Luria, of reciting this psalm, this chapter in Tehillim, after Tikkun Chatzos, the midnight prayers, before resume, before the human being engages in Torah study. Tikkun Chatzos, midnight prayers, a famous practice that was practiced by Jews for many, many generations, although today it's much, much less common. Specifically and particularly, it was practiced by those Jews involved in Kabbalah, in Jewish mysticism and spirituality, especially among... Let me phrase it differently. The Shulchan Aruch mentions it. The Kabbalists attributed great, great mystical significance to this service, and discuss it in an elaborative manner. Specifically, the Arizal and the school of the Kabbalists in Sfas in the 16th century when the Arizal lived. The Arizal instituted that after Tikkun Chatzos, prior to the human being begin to say there was, they would do Tikkun Chatzos midnight prayers and you wouldn't go back to sleep. That was it for the night. You would begin learning till dawn. So before learning, the Yid should say this Mizmer in Tillim. So the Alter Rebbe says why. So there are various mystical reasons given for it. But the simple reason the Alter Rebbe says is Kedei Lilmid V'Simcha Amitis B'Hashem Haba Acher Ha'etzef. In order that one should study with the true joy in Hashem, the joy that succeeds the remorse of Tikkun Chatzos. Tikkun Chatzos has in it an element of atzavus, an element of sadness, an element of melancholiness. V'chol etzev yiyem moiser. Sadness itself is not a positive virtue. Its only profit when it is used is the fact that it could bring someone to joy as a result of the atzavus. And therefore, to remain in that state of Tikkun Chatzos and immediately enter Limud HaTorah is unjustified. So the Arizal instituted this Kapitel Tillim, which demonstrates and conveys this idea that the Lev Nishbar V'Nitke is there to produce ultimately a state of Tashmieni, Sosim V'Simcha, Ruach Nedivus V'Smecheni, and so forth. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? Essentially, sadness has no place in a human being's life. From the Alter Rebbe's point of view, it's a very destructive substance. The holy Reb Aaron of Karlin, who was also one of the great students of the Maggid, said once that atzvos, sadness, is not an aveira. It's not a transgression. There's no aveira against atzvos. But where atzvos can bring a person, no aveira can bring him. Atzvos can drag down a person to the lowest pits and the lowest depths and paralyze him in such a powerful way that no aveira can bring him there. Reb Nachman of Breslov once said, "You know what the Yetzirah is really all about? It's not that force that compels you to sin. Obviously, that certainly comes from the Yetzirah. You know what the real Yetzirah is? That force that makes you depressed after you sin." Which allows the sin to become a factor that paralyzes the person and schleps him down even lower. So essentially a human being with atzvus is a human being that his soul cannot express itself, his or her soul is paralyzed, God forbid. It results in atzvus and laziness, which is the best mechanism that the Yetzirah employs in order to defeat the human being in the battle of life. But v'chol etzev yiyem moiser. The Alter Rebbe says if there's an etzev amiti, if there's true sadness, that can ultimately produce a benefit, a spiritual benefit. By way of illustration, there are certain substances we take in order, if someone has to throw up, to remove negative substances in our system, in our intestines. So there are certain, but it's not, we don't have the ability, so there are certain medicines or whatever we take, pills, so that a human being should be able to throw up. This is not pleasant. It's quite unpleasant. It's very uncomfortable. And no one is going to say that there is a positive element in these substances that we take. Certainly not. It's just since there are negative substances in us that we have to get rid of. So by taking into our system this destructive element, nevertheless, its virtue is that it opens up the system, and together with it, it takes out all the dirt and the negativity, and then the human being can reach the next step. The same is true concerning a spiritual human being, spiritual life. The Alter Rebbe says that there is the concept of mechitza shel barzel. There is a curtain, an iron curtain, which has to be broken. There is a spirit of separation, a ruach hatumah v'sitra achira, that can only be broken through atzvos. What does that mean?
Let me demonstrate it with a story. It'll be easier to comprehend. There was once a Jew who came to the Rebbe's shop. Perhaps I shared with you the story once. The Rebbe's shop, Reb Shalom Ber, was the fifth Rebbe in the Chabad dynasty. It was in the early, very early years of his leadership, shortly after the passing of his father, the Rebbe Maharash Reb Shmuel. Rebbe Rashab refused for close to 11 years to accept officially the leadership of the Chabad Hasidic movement, but nevertheless, unofficially, he led it in various ways. And this was then in the earlier years. He was a young man, and a Jew came to him one day. Nabach had many tzaras, poverty-stricken, ill, many debts, and above all, he had a few daughters he had to marry off. He did not have with what. So he came to the Rebbe to express his dilemma and to request help. He goes into the Rebbe and he pours out his bitter heart. The Rebbe Rashab listens carefully and then responds and says, Ich ken dir nicht helfen. I cannot help you. And the audience is concluded. The Jew hears that. He walks out of the room. He begins weeping, crying, and he faints. At that moment, the Rebbe Rashab's older brother, the Raza, he's known as the Raza, which is an acronym of Reb Zalman Aaron, he was the oldest son of the Rebbe Maharash, is walking through the hall of the halls of the home, and he sees a Jew fainted. So he immediately rushes, brings water, revives him, and says, "My dear Yid, what happened?" And he relates to him the whole story, how he was just by the Rebbe. He tells the Raza about all his problems, dilemmas, tzaras. He told it to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe simply put, said, "Ich ken dir nicht helfen." And the Jew continued to weep and cry. The Raza was devastated, Reb Zalman Aaron. He runs into his brother's room. As mentioned, it was the early years of the Rebbe Rashab's leadership. And he turns to his brother and he says, "This is how you treat a Yid? A Jew comes, travels from far, experiences such hardship in his life. This is what you tell him? Even, let's suppose it's true, you cannot help him. Not in a spiritual way, not in a physical way, not through any advice. At least encourage him, inspire him, present to him some words of hope." So the Rebbe Rashab says, "Okay, call him back in." He put on his gartel. He girded himself with his gartel. He put on his hat. And the Jew came in. And the Rebbe Rashab gave him a bracha, a blessing, and presented to him exact advice concerning his life. The Jew was extremely happy and content. He went home, and everything worked out. Apparently, it's an absurd story. Mimonavshech, as the famous term goes. Whichever way you look at it, it's senseless. If the Rebbe Rashab had the ability to help him, so help him initially. If he didn't have the ability to help him, and he said that he didn't have the ability to help him, and apparently we are to assume, obviously, that you're dealing with a person who was an embodiment of emes, he says, ich ken din nicht helfen. So what changed 10 or 20 minutes or half an hour later? So the Rebbe once told the story, and explained it based on the principle that Alter Rebbe says here. You see, let's speak bluntly. There are many people that are alive, but never had a true experience in their life. There are people that live, exist, earn a livelihood, even create a family, and it's wonderful. They do a lot of good things, but very often, human beings, a person does not experience an experience of truth, a true experience, not an experience of love. Whether it's love to another human being, love to Hashem, love to family, not even an experience of hate, of awe, of fear, of joy, of happiness. Our civilization, our society imposes upon us, and this runs very deeply, certain things about which we are supposed to be excited about, and certain things about which concerning we should not, that we, certain things which we are not to get excited about, certain things which we are supposed to love and admire and embrace and smile to, and certain things which we are supposed to despise and express negativity and repulsiveness and abhorrence. A real emotion is difficult to experience. It's not easy to experience. A real relationship, real vulnerability. Everything often is by us a performance. True, the performance changes. The stage changes every day. There's a new play every day. The theater opens up anew every single day, every 24 hours. But it's ultimately a performance, it's a stage, it's a play. It's difficult to experience anything. I'm not talking spirituality, not spirituality, anything, but experience it truthfully. In Chassidic literature, it's called Hachelev HaMechaseh HaKerev. One of the things that had to be offered on the altar was Hachelev HaMechaseh HaKerev. Hachelev HaMechaseh HaKerev is the fat that covers up the intestines. All of us create, or some of us create, a chalif, a powerful piece of fat that covers up our kerif, our internal selves. We create patterns and a system of life that allows us to be content and satisfied. We all have our comfort zones through which we walk and we travel. We don't allow anything to interfere. True, there are ups and downs and trials and tribulations. But nevertheless, basically, we know our comfort zones, we know the places we are comfortable, we can handle, we're content, and we don't allow anything to really get to us. The heart remains untouched and untainted. This is called a mechitza shel barzel mafsekes bein noila aviv shabbat shamayim. You cannot experience God. You cannot experience your soul. Why? You created an iron curtain. There is an iron curtain between you and your soul, between you and real spirituality, between the human being and godliness. What has to happen? What has to happen that should change? Two things can happen. On a positive note, something really wonderful and beautiful and joyous can happen in a human being's life, which will take him out of his comfort zone. But more often than not, it's the other extreme. When a human being is confronted with something that devastates him, breaks him, suddenly he doesn't have the tools that he so skillfully constructed during so many years to deal with this crisis. Suddenly everything is not good and content. And he immediately falls back on his comfort zone and his patterns, but it's not working. This creates a hole in the Mechitza Shel Barzel. It allows him to experience something. It allows him to emerge. This Jew came to the Rebbe for a bracha. In his present situation, the divine energy that was needed to flow in order to restore this human being's life and bring in healing into his life can flow, but the human being was not a vessel for it. If you don't plow the earth, it could rain from today till tomorrow. If you don't plow the earth and sow it and plant it, it will not produce anything. Rain is coming. Rain might come abundantly, might descend abundantly, but nevertheless, the soil has not been made a receptacle for this flow. The same is true in a person's spiritual life. The Rebbe saw this Jew. This Jew needed help. He needed a new flow of energy from Hashem. But he was not a vessel. Psychologically, emotionally, he was not a vessel to become a receptacle for this new level of energy. So the Rebbe Rashab told him, I cannot help you. That I cannot help you broke this Jew. It was a type of shock treatment that took him out of his normal, ordinary patterns and comfort zone to the extent that he lost himself in the experience. When he lost himself in his experience, he refashioned himself. He reformulated himself. He redesigned himself. When the Razak came into the Rebbe and told him what happened, he says, call him in. And he put on his hat and his gartel and he gave him the bracha. And prior to that, he was not talking to anyone. He was talking to a Mechitza Shel Barzel. You want to talk to a human being. This is something you see today very common. There are people who sometimes come in contact often with people who have been through serious challenges in their life. Not necessarily as a result of their own faults and their own problems. Often it's a result of abuse during childhood, whether physical abuse or psychological abuse or emotional abuse from parents or educators or siblings, which today unfortunately is a plague in all circles, although some are still in denial of it. And there are human beings who, as they grow up, they have hindrances and blockages, emotional blockages that other people do not have. And this forces them and brings upon their life very serious misery and sadness. So there are human beings who fall into despair and don't seek help and don't get out of it. But then there are people, whether it's through 12-step programs or therapy or other elements, internal or external, whatever, it's not the issue now, go in and confront the situation and deal with it. And anyone who ever met such a person knows that there is something about the life of these individuals who rehabilitated themselves that has no parallel, that is infinitely greater and superior to all human beings who treaded the path of security and comfort, confidence and comfort during their life. Why? Because their Mechitza Shel Barzel was broken. The soul is a very precious thing. A person who experiences his soul experiences life in a new dimension. By the Alter Rebbe, this was crucial. Life should be real. Spirituality should be real. Love should be real. Awe should be real. Here is sometimes where atzvos can be a positive ingredient. Atzvos per se is negative. Atzvos per se is negative. Nevertheless, what it can do is, when a human being experiences atzvos, when a human being experiences a certain sense of misery, a certain sense of sadness, melancholiness, that does break him, that does devastate him. So Lev Nishbar V'Nitke breaks the Ruach Nishbara. It breaks that spirit of apathy, of indifference, of a cover-up, of an iron curtain that separates between us and our God. And then there is Simcha. Then there is joy. Why is there joy then? Because then you emerge. Then you can experience something. A Jew has a relationship with Hashem. Then your neshama can come out. That's where atzvos is good. But interestingly, he emphasizes, you see, achara etzev ha'amiti le'itim u'mezamonim. Joy that follows true sadness at suitable specific times. Two conditions. It has to be true sadness, and it has to be at suitable specific times. When should you become sad? It has to be like every negative substance that's given to a person for a productive cause. There has to be a lot of caution. The right time and the right place. A person has to be careful that the atzvos that he experiences should only come le'itim u'zamanim.